Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamitzia daf Ayin Beis. We are holding on daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis at the three lines from the bottom of the page. Ravina Amar, which is the fifth and final interpretation of the case, where the Jew made the Jew was the middleman between Jew and a non-Jew, and how that works out in terms of ribbis. So three lines from the bottom of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Alila Nishmas's mother, Goldava Simcha Leah Shalom. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzacha for our soldiers and for our captives, to return home safely, and also by Nasi Fogel, in memory of Akiva Ben Chaim, Baruch Fogel on his first yard site, Neshama Shav Naliyah, and is also sponsored by the Gross family, Lezecher Nishmas, Chanaleya Bas Moshe Tzvi, Rav Moshe Yehuda Ben Rav Nachum, Chayaleya Bas Naftali Hertzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayahu, the Neshama Shav Naliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to talk about today is, as we just mentioned, first thing we're going to talk about is yet another interpretation of what exactly the case is, where the Jew is kind of a middleman between a non-Jew and a Jew, and how we avoid a ribbis situation, or don't avoid a ribbis situation in that case. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, what if you have a ribbis deal in place between a Jew and a non-Jew, and then the non-Jew converts after the deal is already in place? So does it matter when exactly he converts, and does it matter whether it's the malva that converts or the lova that converts, but somebody is Megayer, so now you have two Jews, and now how do we deal with ribbis in such a case? Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas, whether you can collect the keren on a shtar that has ribbis. We wrote a shtar, but we put into the shtar that you're going to have to pay ribbis as well, so certainly you're not allowed to collect the ribbis, you're not allowed to give the ribbis, but what about the keren? What about the actual loan itself? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a shtar that's invalid has shibud nechasim. Normally we assume anytime there's a milvah b'shtar, there's shibud nechasim involved in the shtar. What if the shtar was invalid? And Rav is going to distinguish between what's called a shtar hanitan likasev and a shtar that's lo nitan likasev. Maybe one will and one will not have shibud nechasim. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about when you can and cannot prepay for things where the price might go up. So I'm prepaying before I ever receive the item, but there's a chance that the price is going to go up. So the fact that I'm paying early is what entitles me to the cheaper price. Is that going to be an issue of ribbis? And the rest of the daf from the Gemara is going to talk about the concept of yotza hashar, what yotza hashar means, and a more precise definition of yotza hashar. That conversation about the shar is going to bring us to the end of the daf. So let's begin again. We are three lines from the bottom of the page on daf ayin aleph amud beis. So we're still trying to explain a brisa that the Gemara had brought, and so far we have four explanations of the brisa. So Ravina Amar, Ravina says that we don't have to say that the ratio of the brisa is talking about where the Nachri was Natal V'Nasan Biyad, that he literally took the money back from the Jew that had initially borrowed money from him and then gave it to the second Jew who is now borrowing money from him. No, even if the first Jew who had borrowed the money and was interested in paying up the loan is handing it off instead to another Jew, because the Nachri says, yeah, that's fine, I'll keep this loan alive with the other Jew, and the first Jew is passing it on to the other Jew, it's still not a violation of ribbis, even though ain shlichus l'nachri. So you would think, what do you mean? The Jew is giving the money to the other Jew, and then that Jew number two is paying ribbis. So how's that not a violation of ribbis? He's not acting, he can't be a shliach for the Nachri, because ain't shlichus l'nachri. So says Gemara, yeah, nihid the shlichus l'nachri lasley. It's true there's ain't shlichus l'nachri, but zechia midrabanon islay. Midrabanon, you could be zocha for a Nachri. So over here also, the second borrower, when he takes the money from the first Jewish borrower, is being zocha in that money for the sake of the Nachri. So now the Nachri is the owner of the money, and then he's borrowing it from the Nachri. So he's both the Shliach of the Nachri and the Lova of the Nachri. So therefore, there's no halva'a from a Jew. There's a halva'a from a Nachri. And that would solve the problem. Now, Minatorah, a Nachri doesn't have Zechiah either. So Minatorah, the money really should belong to Yisrael. So the Ramban raises the question, how does the fact that he has Zechiah midrabanan, how is that mafkia a ribis Minatorah? Minatorah, he doesn't have Zechiah. So the Ramban writes that it could be that since the Yisrael is not paying the money to another Yisrael, he's only paying the money to the Nachri, so the profit of the Ribbis is going to go into the Nachri's pocket. That makes it Ribbis Midrabanan, not Ribbis Minatorah. So therefore, a Zechiah Midrabanan is going to be strong enough to get around the Ribbis Midrabanan, since it's not Ribbis Ktsutza Mida Oraisa. The Rashba says that since it's the Davar Shebimamon, we could always just say Hefker Beis and Hefker, and once the Chamra Masakin, that he's Zocha, so then the money actually belongs to the Nachri, Minatorah, meaning Hefker Beis and Hefker is a concept that works Minatorah. The Rabbanan decide when to utilize that concept. But whenever the Rabbanan institutes something like this, like Zechiah, so then the Rabbanan have decided to utilize Hefker based in Hefker, and therefore he is the rightful owner of that money. So that's how Ravina explains. So Ravina says, I'll bring you a raya. It's mistaber that the Chabamor Mesakein, that a Jew is able to be Zocha on behalf of a Nachri, even though a Nachri does not have Shlichus Minatorah, because who else doesn't have Shlichus Minatorah? Midit Ahava Katan, just like we find Katan, who is not yet chayv in mitzvus, and the katan love afal gav de lesli shlichus. There's no shlichus for a katan. The Gemara just takes that as a given that there's no shlichus for a katan. So Rashi explains, where do we get the idea that there's no shlichus for a katan? Because the concept of shlichus is derived from atem gam atem, from truma. So only one who is ra'oi to be makdish, and also from hegdish, only someone who's ra'oi to be makdish something or to be mafresh truma is included in shlichus. But a katan can do neither of those things, because whatever dibur he's going to have is not going to be chal when it comes to nedarim and hegdish and truma, because by truma the pasuk says, by hegdish rather the pasuk says ish ki yafli, by nedarim it says ish ki yidar, by truma it says yichli truma meis kol ish asher yidvenu libo. So each time it says ish, it's la'afuke a katan. So if he's not included in those parshios, he's not included in shlichus. So, and nevertheless, even though a katan's not included in shlichus, isli zechia, but there is a concept of zechia for a katan, midrabanan at least, so achrami loshna. So it's very mistaver that a nachri, who also is not included in zechia, will be included in shlichus. So it says Mar Velohi, you can't compare those two cases. Yisrael asi l'chal shlichus. A katan is a Yisrael. Israel, he's a Jew, and one day he will be Bechlal Shlichus. So it makes sense that the Rabbanan were Mesakein, let him be Bechlal Zechiah before he enters the Parsha of Shlichus, because one day he's going to be all in the Parsha of Shlichus. But a guy is never slated to become in the Parsha of Shlichus, and therefore the Chachamim have no reason to be Mesakein Zechiah for a guy. So the answer of Ravina is rejected, and we cannot say that the Braisa that allows the Lova from the Nachri to be Malva, that money, to another Yisrael Beribis, we cannot say that it's where the Nachri did not ever take the money back, and it's working through Zechiah, because there is no Zechiah. So we'll go back to the possibility that it was not all the Nasan Biad, that the Nachri must have taken the money back, and he's the one that performed the loan to the other Yisrael, and only then do you avoid the situation of Ribis. Period. That ends our discussion from yesterday's daf. So now the Gemara brings a discussion about what happens if you have a ribbis situation, and then but with the nachri, and then the nachri's megayer. So Tanur Rabbanan, we have a price. Yisrael shalava mos min nachri beribbis. A Jew borrows money from a nachri with ribbis, uzakafan alav b'milva, and after some time they incorporate the ribbis as part of a single halva, as part of the halva together with the keren. So they write the total amount, including both the keren and the ribbis, in a single shtar, that I am chayiv to you, and X amount of money, this amount of money, v'zehu, v'niskayer. And then the Nachri, who is the lender over here, was Megayer. And now the halacha is that he's a Jew, and a Jew is not allowed to take ribbis. So im kodem sheniskayer is a kofen of b'milva, if they already turned the whole thing into a single loan before he was Megayer, then goves a karen v'goves a ribbis. Then he could collect both the karen and the ribbis, and there's no iser, because from the moment they were mitzarif, the ribbis, together with the karen, and they made it all a single loan, it's as if he already collected the ribbis and then lent it out the money again. So if you owed me $100 of karen and $50 of ribbis, and then we were zakfan alav b'milva, and we made it a new star, you owe me $150, we view that as if you paid me the $100, you paid me the $50, and then I lent you $150 again. So that's a new loan without any ribbis. At that time, the Nachri initially collected, he was a Nachri, so there was no Isser ribbis. The fact that he's collecting Lacha Sheniskayer, he's not collecting any ribbis. It's all going to be fine. The Sefer Chassidim points out, well, wait a second, why is he able to collect anything? I thought Ger Sheniskayer, Kikaton Shenola Dami, he's like a new baby. So this new baby has no loans that he ever made. So he says, Ger Sheniskayer, Kikaton Shenola Dami, is about his yichus to his parents, other matters of halacha, but not about dinei mamlis. In dinei mamlis, it's not a katan shnolan. You don't say katan shnolan. You can't, guys, instead of declaring bankruptcy, you can't have this other option of being reborn by just being Megayer, and then he doesn't owe anybody any money anymore. We don't say such a thing. Beis Yosef has a quote of Machlokas Rishonim over here, whether if the Zakifa works only about the amount of ribbis that accrues up until the point of the Gerus, or the Zakifa works even on the amount of ribbis that's going to accrue after the Gerus. Meaning, it could be that they get together on January 1st and they say, okay, how much ribbis has accrued to this point? $25 worth of ribbis, and we anticipate that by the time the loan comes due, another $25 of ribbis will accrue. So let's just put it all together, and we'll write $50, and we'll be okay, for all of it, but some of it hasn't yet accrued, really. And then he's Megayer. So he's Megayer January 2nd, even though the rest of the ribbis is still going to keep on accruing until the loan is due on February 1st. So that's Machlokas Rishonim, whether he's allowed to collect even that ribbis as well. The Avni Nezer is Medayik from Rashi. Rashi says, La'achar Zman, he's Chishivimo. So it seems that Rashi holds that the Kifa only works for what he was mechayiv lefnei hazakifa, but for the ribbis that he's chayiv for the time that happens after zakfan alav b'milva, then it's not going to work. But anyway, let's not confuse things. So the Brisa says the Nachri is megayer. So if they were already zokev alav b'milva prior to his gerus, he could collect the whole thing. But v'imlach hashen iskayer is zakfan alav b'milva. After he becomes a Jew, then they decide, okay, let's take all the karen, let's take all the ribbis, we'll put it in one shtar, it's a new loan, you owe me that money. Well, then govas karen vena govas ribbis. Then he's a Jew just trying to collect ribbis. That you're not allowed to do. So then he can only be govas the karen, not the ribbis. That's if the Nachri is the lender. V'chei Nachri shalava ma'os mi Yisrael b'ribbis. And what if the Nachri is the borrower, who's the kafan of the milva? And at some point, they decide to turn it into a halva'a with all the ribbis and the Karen together. V'nisgayer, and the non-Jewish borrower now converts, and now he's a Jew, and so you're not allowed to take ribbis from him. So imad shalom nisgayer is a kofen lev b'milva. If prior to the Gerus, they already turned it into a loan, goves Karen v'goves ribbis, then it's fine, then it's a brand new loan, which doesn't have any ribbis, so you're allowed to collect it, even after he becomes Jewish. But im mishenisgayer is a kofen lev b'milva. If they turned it into a loan, after he already converted, so it's going to look like ribbis from a Yisrael to Yisrael. So the Chamar goes to that. Govah is a Karen. Veino Govah as a ribbis. That you can only be Govah the Karen. You're not able to be Govah the ribbis. But on this one, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nachri Shalava Mos Mi Yisrael Beribbis. If a Nachri is the one that borrowed the money from the Yisrael with ribbis, Bein Kach, Govus Karim, Govus Ribis. Regardless whether they did this Kifa B'milva to combine the Ribis with the Karen before the Gerus or whether they did it after the Gerus, the Israel, the Malva, the lender, is allowed to collect both the Karen and the Ribis. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Huna, Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi, that we paskin, that like Rabbi Yossi, that a Nachri who borrows money from Yisrael and is then Megayer has to pay the Ribis even if they were not Zakvan Alav B'milva prior to the Gerus. What if they were not Zakvan Alav B'milva at all? So that's a machlokas in the Rishonim, whether Rabbi Yossi would even allow it if they were never Zakov Lav Milva. Meaning the point is, he's able to collect ribis that happened even after the Gerus, so then why do you even need Zakvan Lav Milva? So the Rashba thinks that we should be matir even when they were not Zakvan Lav Milva, because if they were not Zakvan Kodim Shenes Geyer, the Zakifa after the guy's Megayer doesn't help. That's already, why does Zakvan Lav Milva work? Because we view it as if, okay, you paid me back everything, the Karen and the Ribis, and now this is a new loan. So if we only do that after the guy's Megayer, it's a Jew paying back to another Jew the Karen and the Ribis. That doesn't work. So Elamai, we just ignore the whole thing over here. For some reason, he's allowed to do that. He's allowed to collect. Some of my time is Rabbi Yossi. Why? Why after the guy is Megayer are you allowed to pay the and collect the Karen and the Ribis? It's for his own benefit. Because if he's Megayer and everyone says, oh, now he doesn't have to pay all that ribis that he had a lot of credit card debt to the Jewish credit card company. Let's assume that that's a mutter thing to have a Jewish credit card. So he had a lot of credit card debt to the Jewish credit card company and he was sinking and he didn't know what to do. Oh, so he's going to be Megayer and now he's not going to have to pay the ribis and he's going to get out of that he's going to get out of that problem. So people are going to say, that's why this fellow is Megayer, and that would be a pretty terrible thing. Everyone's going to call his gerus into question. The Ritva writes that since it's not really ribis d'oraisa and the whole Isra was only mishum marasayin, that's why the chum were matir. Meaning the loan happened when one of the parties was not Jewish. So if the loan happened when one of the parties is not Jewish, it's not really ribis midaraisa. So the whole thing was only a maris ha'ayin, that by the time the fellow's paying up, everybody's Jewish, so it's going to look like ribis. Okay, since it's only mishum marasayin, that's what gave the flexibility to make this takana that you're able to that you're able to pay and collect the ribis. The Torah quotes from the Ramah, Resh Mem Hei, that he gives the ribis for the zman prior to the Gerus, but whatever accrued after the Gerus, he should not pay him. But the Rush disagrees, and he thinks Rabbi Yossi is matir to take even the ribis that accrues after the Gerus. And even though there's an Issa Daraisa in that, but the Chacham have the ability to be Oker Davar Min HaTorah. And this is an example that the Chacham are Oker Davar Min HaTorah. Even though he's violating Bekum Vaseh, and normally the Chacham are only Oker Davar Min HaTorah B'Shevi Al Taseh, but over here, this is Dina Mamnus, the Chacham have a valuable weapon that they can take out at any time called Hefker Beis Din Hefker. So the Akiras Davar Min HaTorah, they always have the ability to do that when it comes to Dina Mamnus. So that's that even if it weren't only Mishra Marasayin, even on Ribis that accrued after the Gerus, anything that's going to call into question this person's Gerus is not worth it. So the Chachamim are Oker Davar Min HaTorah, Hefker Beis Din Hefker, and they allow this Ribis to be collected. That's what we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So now the Gemara brings a machlokas about a shtar that was written with ribis unlawfully, not allowed to do that. But the lender just wants to collect the keren now. He doesn't want to collect the ribis because he knows he's not allowed to, but can he at least collect the keren with the shtar? So Tan Rabban, shtar shekasav bo, if a shtar writes that someone borrowed money and ribis, and it had ribis in it, konsonos, so we make a knas on the lender that since he violated ribis, veinu gova lo es a keren velo es a ribis to Rameir. Rameir holds, neither you can't even collect the Karen, the Chum Momrim, Govas HaKaren, Veinu Govas HaRibis. And the Chum say he could still collect the Karen with that Shtar, he just cannot collect the Ribis. Very fundamental question Tosos asks. Wait, he's going to use a Shtar that's signed by two Eidim that says Ribis in the Shtar. One thing I know about these Eidim, they're Rishayim, because you're not allowed to be an Eid on a Shtar that has Ribis. So if the Eidim are Rishayim, Al Tashas Rosha Eid, they're Pasla Eidim, and therefore the whole Shtar should be invalid. How can you say that he's going to collect the Karen by force of this shtar, he's going to be able to collect the keren. This shtar is a shtar puzzle because it's got edim that are reshaim on it. So Tosa suggests that maybe we're talking about ribis midrabanan, and since they only violated the rabbanan, maybe that doesn't puzzle them le'edus. Now, not every time someone only violates midrabanan is he still kasher le'edus. Normally, the rules are that if you violate an avera consistently, for which you're chayv malchus or worse, that puzzles you le'edus, so that's only going to be on the daraisa. Or any drabanan for any isr, even midrabanan, for which there's harvachas mamon, for which you're compromising your principles for the sake of money. So these eidim didn't get paid. There's no harvachas mamon for them. So since it's only midrabanan, they don't become pasul eidos on a ribis drabanan case. The other answer though says it could be even ribis midaraisa that don't become pasul eidos, because it could be that they thought that the eidim don't violate ribis, meaning they didn't know that this was an isr. You only become pasulaitis if we assume you're someone who's willing to compromise your principles. But if you didn't even know that this was a principle, you didn't know that this was I shouldn't use the word principle in ribbis discussions and that. But if we didn't even know that this was a mitzvah, this was a thing, this was an iser, so then they're not going to be pasulaitis. That's another halacha nilchus eidus, that if it's the kind of thing that people just assume is okay, so then it's not going to pasul them. That's I was listening to a share from Rabbi Shai Shachter about Yichud. So he said that Rabbi Olbam has a tshuva where he responds to something Rav Vazner wrote. The Rav Vazner writes that when it comes to discussing prutzim for Yichud, so anyone who watches television is a parutz, and therefore you have much stricter halachas of Yichud. So Rabbi Olbam writes, in Bnei Brak, that's probably true, but when people assume that that's just a way of life and it's something that's mutter and they don't think twice about it, it's not, they don't think every time they turn on the television or they see something that they're violating some terrible aveira. So that's just they're observant. So then you don't assume that they have a din of prutzim. So we are also in Milchus Eidus. Person does something that they assume is mutter. So even it could be nisit d'oraisa, like signing a shtar with ribbis. But if they assume it's mutter, so nevertheless, they're still going to be kasher le'edus. So anyway, so again, machlokas was, can you at least collect the keren with the shtar? You can't collect the ribbis, obviously. Can you collect the keren? So ma'kamifli, what's the nukudas of machlokas? Rameir sover kantzin and hatera mishum isura. We paskin that he's going to lose even the mutter part of the shtar because of the violation of the yasser part of the shtar. For Rabbanan savri lo kantzin and hatera mishum isura. And the Rabbanan say, no, what's mutter is mutter, what's yasser is yasser. We don't make any sort of knas. The Gemara says, "Ooh, maybe this machlokas appears somewhere else." Of kantzin, meaning once you say it's about this principle of kantzina netera atu isura, so maybe that relates to a different machlokas as well. Tanana. So we have a Mishnah shtari chov amukdamin. If you have a shtar chov where the zman halva'a that is reported in the shtar is prior to the actual zman halva'a, it says echad, the halva happened on echad b'kislev, and they write in the shtar that it happened on echad b'cheshvan. So psulin, they're a puzzle, and you cannot collect with them from nechasim mishubadim, even if the properties were sold after the actual zman halva, because we always have to be choshish that maybe the lova sold nechasim prior to the halva'a, after the zman that's written in the shtar, the malva is going to go and collect those nechasim based on the shtar, but really at that point those nechasim were not meshubad to the shtar, so it's going to be mafsid l'kucho shelo kedin. People who buy those properties in between the stated zman halva'a and the actual zman halva'a should not lose out, but they're going to by force of the shtar. But amulcharin, if you have a shtar mu'uchar, it says in the shtar, it reports in the shtar a later date, then the halva actually happened, then ksherin, then it's going to be kosher, because no lukuchos could possibly lose out. This is part of the issue. If you go to chasanas these days, although I guess now these days, right now you can't, right, between Rosh Chodesh and Lag Bomer, I'm saying around this time of year where the chuppah is right around Shkia, so that's a major question of how exactly to do the ksuba, because it's all based on this issue that normally you would, what do you mean, how do you date the ksuba? You're writing a ksuba, and the date is the date that you're writing it, so you put that in the ksuba. Yeah, but if the ksuba says yesterday's day and date, and that's what the husband's being chayv himself and all this money, and then it only really takes effect the next day, the next calendar day, after Shkia, after Tzei Sakuchavim. So that's at least a Shaila. Can you do that? Shtar Muktam is problematic. But a Shtar Mu'uchar is fine, right? If you have it on a later date than it should really be, that's perfectly fine. So Muktam and Amay Psulin. Why should a shtar muktam be pasul? Neidelo gavu mizman rishon, yigvu nigvu mizman sheni. So don't let him collect from the time that it says in the shtar. Let him collect from the time that the halva actually happened. Don't collect the bad the lukuchos that you shouldn't be collecting, but collect from the good lukuchos. So Rabbi Shimon Lakish machlokas shnuyav Rabbi Meir. Yeah, that's this machlokas, and this is sumlak Rameir that we're kansinan hetera atuisura. That since there is a way to use this, the part of the shtar has isur in it, so you're not allowed to collect on any part of the shtar. But the Rabban would disagree. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Teim Rabbanan. No, we could even assume like the Rabbanan that when it comes to ribis, they were not kone satera atu isura, and they allowed collecting the keren and just not the ribis. But when it comes to shtar muktam, they said it's pasul lagamri. Why? When the guy goes to collect from Lukuchos, the Lukuchos aren't going to pay attention to the fact that it's Shtar Muktam. They're not going to realize that, and therefore it's very likely that he's going to collect from the Zman Rishon. Ribis, it's right there, black and white in the Shtar. Karen, Ribis, I know what I can and cannot collect. But if the shtar just has the wrong date, so it's not evident in the shtar at all that he's not allowed to collect from the date that's actually written in the shtar. So now the Gemara brings a maisa where Rabbi Yochanan's comment comes up in this maisa. This comment of Rabbi Yochanan, who gavra demashkin lepardesa lechavrei, a guy borrowed money from his friend and he gave him a vineyard almanas that the lender will eat the peros of the vineyard for X number of years, and through the eating of the peros from that vineyard, he'll ultimately get paid back, and then he'll return the vineyard, meaning the peros are going to be his payment. Sa achalat slashni, he ate 3 years worth of produce from the vineyard. Amarlei, and then the malva came to the lova and he said, you know, I'm really liking this vineyard. I think it's got a lot of potential. I want to start a winery, whatever. I'm really enjoying this, so I would like to buy it. So yimizavnet lanehli, if you agree to sell it to me, mutav, then great. I'm going to give you fair market value. I'm going to pay you for this vineyard. Ve'ilo, but if you refuse to sell me this vineyard, I'm going to do some underhanded thing as follows. Kavishna lo l'shtar mashkanta. I'm going to hide the shtar that says that I only have it as a mashkon. Vamina l'kuchi biyadi, and I'll claim that I am the owner of this vineyard. And what's Bezin going to say? Oh yeah, if you're really the owner, where's your shtar that says that you bought it? I'll say, well, I've been on the land for 3 years. I bought it over 3 years. I already have a cheskas gimel shanim, and I'll be able to prove that I have a cheskas gimel shanim. So they'll never take it away from me. So I'm giving you the option. I'm willing to buy it from you and pay fair market value. Otherwise, I'm going to steal it from you. Right? Those are the options. So the lover hears about this, and he doesn't want to tell the malva that he doesn't want to sell it to him because he knows that the malva has this ability to just steal it from him. So he says, no problem, I'll sell it to you, we'll write a shtar. But he wants to make sure that this mechira is not going to be chal. So azul kam akne libno katan. So he goes and he's makne the vineyard to his child who's a katan. So memela, when he's going to sell this vineyard to the malva, he's not going to be the owner of the vineyard anymore. So he doesn't have the rights to sell it to the malva. It belongs to his kid. So v'hadar zavna ne'alei. And then afterwards he sells the vineyard to the malva, and he never tells the malva that the field is already belongs to the katan and no longer belongs to him. So Gemara says, Vini vaday lavi zvini. It's pashut that the mechir is not chal because he was already makna the kerem to his child, but as far as the money that the malva pays for that kerem, since we now know that it wasn't really a sale, that there was no mechira, so you got to give back the money. I mean, if the malva buys this vineyard for $500,000 and you just arranged that you didn't own the vineyard when you sold it to him, so he gave you $500,000, you didn't get a vineyard, you got to give him back that $500,000. You certainly have to give back that money. But how do we view that money? Zuzi kemalva b'shtar damu? Do we view that as a loan with a shtar? Because there is a shtar mechira with achrayus, and any shtar mechira that has achrayus has a din of alva b'shtar, meaning if they take the field from the lokeach because of the mocher has to return the money to the lokeach, and the lokeach can collect that chov even from the chasam shabadim. So here also, even though the shtar didn't work as far as the mechira is concerned, but maybe it should work as far as the achrayus, that the money that's owed is like a milva b'shtar, and therefore the lova if the lover doesn't give back that money, the government chasam mishubadim, the malva can go collect it from the chasam mishubadim of the lover from any other properties the lover had sold off. Odilma kimeval pedam uveina government chasam mishubadim. Or maybe we say no, there was no shtar over here, so therefore you cannot collect from the chasam mishubadim. Amar Abaye velav hainu Rabbi Yasi. Isn't this exactly the din of Rabbi that Rabbi Yasi taught us? Dam Rabbi Yasi, because Rabbi Yasi taught the following that. A person who takes out a shtar that's not mekuyim and against his friend that he owes him money. So if the lova is moda that he wrote the shtar, it's not a shtar mekuyim. He didn't have to be moda. They were never Edom never testified to the veracity of the signature, the viability of the signatures in the shtar. But the lova is moda. Yeah, I wrote that shtar. It's not mezuyah. I did write it. So eino tzarich lekaimo. The malva now no longer needs to bring Edom to the signatures in the shtar, that the signatures are genuine signatures, and the lova is not neman to say that he paid up the chov already, and the malva is able to use that shtar to collect even from the chasam mishubadim. So even though the shtar as a piece of paper is worthless, because if the lova would have tightened that it's mezuyaf, the shtar would not have held up in court. Nevertheless, since the lova was moda that he wrote it, it's considered a full-fledged shtar, and now he's no longer neman to say that he paid it, and you can collect from the chasam mishubadim. So who had it over here? Even though the shtar on its own is not really a shtar, because this mechira is not really a mechira, because he already had given the vineyard to his son. But since he's moda that he wrote the shtar and that he owes and that he's therefore got to give the money for the sale of this property, which was never sold, back to the malva, he's not neman to say that he paid it back, and it's, there is achrayus, and the guy can collect even from the chasam mishubadim. So it's the same case. So Rava says, no, it's not. Amalei Rava, mi dami, how can you compare Moda B'Shtar Shiksava to this case? Hasam, nitan lihi kasev, by when the lova was Moda that he wrote a shtar, it's a halva'a that should have been written up in a shtar. It was a valid halva'a, and therefore it deserved the shtar. But over here, that he wrote a mechira on a sada that didn't belong to him, lo nitan lihi kasev. This is a shtar that never should have been written. It was only written because the mocher was forcing the mocher was being forced into writing it. It's as if the shtar was never written at all, and therefore there's no chiyuv achrayus, and it's like a milva al peh, not a milva b'shtar. So of course he has to give back the money. It's not his money, but it's not going to have the force of a milva b'shtar. So the Gemara asks on Ravi, Yosef, Remer v'kamer la shmaita. Remer was saying over what Ravi said that a shtar that's not nitan li kasev is not considered a shtar at all, and the chov in it is only considered a milva al peh. So Ravina the Marema, Ravina said to Ramemar, Ela Hada Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that which Rabbi Yochanan says that the reason the Shtarchov Muktam is possible is Gzeru Shema Yigvam Izman Rishon, that you might come to collect from the earlier time. So it sounds like, had it not been for that Gzeru that you might collect from the earlier time, the Malva would be allowed to collect with the Shtar from the later time, from the time of the actual Halva'a. But Neim Alonitan Likasev, shouldn't Rabbi Yochanan say that the reason the Shtar is possible is that it's possible to Gamri, because it's Lo Nitan Likasev, you're not allowed to write a shtar muktam. So it's as if you never wrote the shtar, and therefore you shouldn't be able to collect from the chasam mishpadim at all. So it'd be a gzeira that I can't collect from the chasam mishpadim. The whole shtar should be possible. So Amalei, Marema says back to Ravina, Hachi Hashta, you can't compare the two things. Hasam, by the shtar chov muktam, Nidil Nitan Likasev, Mizman Rishon, Al Nitan Likasev, Mizman Sheni. You can't call that something that's not Nitan Likasev. It was an actual loan. It's Nitan Likasev. It's just the way that it was written was improper. They shouldn't have written from the earlier date. They should have written from when the loan actually happened. Hacha, lo nitan likasev klal. Over here, the guy selling a vineyard that he doesn't own. That's not something that ever should have been written in any form. So the Gemara asks another kasha on Rava Elahadatanya. There's a Mishnah, Maseches Gittin, that we're not motzi la'achilas peros l'shvach karkos from l'chashim shvadim b'nei tikun olam. So l'shvach karkos case, and what does that mean? So the Brisa elaborates on the Mishnah. What does l'shvach karkos mean? Hare shegazel sadeh mechaveru mechor la'acher. Someone steals a field from his friend, and the gazlan sells it to somebody else. V'yishbicha, and the guy who bought that field innocently, thinking that it's not a stolen field, was meshbiyat the field. He put investment into the field. Hare yotze mitachas yado. And then the nigzal, the person who was initially stolen from, says, I'm sorry, sir, that's my field that you bought, and he confiscates the field from the lokeach. Now the lokeach goes back to collect the the money for the field from the gazlan who sold it to him. So kshu gove, when he does the collection, gove sakar min chasim shubadim v'shvach v'shavach gove min chasim necharin. He collects the keren, what he paid for that field, from the chasim shubadim of the gazlan, but the shavach only from the chasim necharin, not from the chasim shubadim. Why? Because someone who sold a stolen field and wrote a shtar with achrayus is chayiv in the achrayus, so he collects the chov of the achrayus, which means the keren, even from the chasim shubadim. But according to Rava, that's difficult. Name alone nitan likasev. He was selling a field that didn't belong to him. The whole thing should never have been nitan likasev. So it should never be collectible min chasim shubadim. The whole thing should be considered an invalid shtar. It should be like a milval peh. So it answers the Gemara. Well, a little bit of background to the answer of the Gemara. We had said back on Daf Tezvav and Beis that a person who steals karka and sells it to somebody else, and then after he sold it to somebody else, goes and pays for the karka from the guy that he stole it from. So Shimon steals karka from Reuven, sells it to Levi, and then Shimon's thinking, what did I do? What mess did I get myself into? I stole something. I sold it to Levi. This is all going to blow up. You know what? I'm going to pay Reuven for it. I'm going to go to Reuven and say, I'm buying the field from you. So he goes and he pays Reuven for it. So what do we assume? Is he able to go back to Levi now and say, Levi, that field's not yours? What do you mean? I bought it from you. No, you bought it from me when I didn't own it. So it's not yours. And I have since bought it from Reuven, so I'm going to confiscate it from you. So no, we assume that when he paid Reuven, he paid Reuven so that Levi can keep it. But why? What's the so that Levi can keep it? Why does it matter to him that Levi should keep it? So there were two opinions. One opinion is because he doesn't want to be a gazlan. He doesn't want to be called a gazlan. And if Levi can't keep it, he's going to be called a gazlan. The other is just stam. He wants to be a trustworthy person. Whether you call him a gazlan, not a gazlan, it's an untrustworthy thing to do. So he wants. So Hachi Asha says, that's why it's a faulty comparison. Hasam, when you sold a stolen field, even though the mechira was not chal, but we say that we say the shtar is still worth something. Whether you go like the opinion that the guy doesn't want to be called a gazlan, or whether you go like the opinion that he just wants to keep his ne'amanus, he's going to go and try to be mefayis the original bailim to buy that field from them in order that this mechira should still be chal and the shtar would therefore still be binding. So if he goes and he's going to buy the field from the original bailim, he's buying it for the lokeach, and that's going to make the shtar the shtar mechira a valid shtar l'mafreya. So it's a shtar that's nitan likasev. But hacha, but over here where he dafka went and it was makna the field to his child in order that this mechira should not be chal, lavrucha minei kamechavin shtar mekayim lei. All he's trying to do is keep this field away from the guy who's buying it. So what? Now you think he's going to be mekayim, that we're going to be mekayim that shtar? No, that shtar is mamish lo nitan likasev. So that shtar is therefore worthless. Okay, new mishnah. Ein poskan al peros. You're not allowed to pay in advance for peros al menas that the mocher is going to give you the delivery of the peros at some later date, based on the price that they were koveya at the time of the payment, because we're choshish that the peros may go up in value in between, and the money that you paid in advance is considered like a halva'a that the mocher is getting, and the mocher is giving you back peros that are worth more than that halva'a. That's ribis midrabanan. Achi yitzei ashar. Until there are a lot of peros in the shuk, and there were koveya the price of these peros in the shuk. Yotza ashar, poskanaf pishein lezeh, yesh lezeh. But once the yotza ashar, once the price is there and there are all these peros available in the shuk, then he could be posting. Because if the guy wanted to deliver the peros today, he could. Meaning, if I wanted to buy these peros for this amount of money today, I could. It's not considered like a halva'a. Hayehut chila lekotzrim. If he was the first of the harvesters of the grain, even though the other people don't have grain, so it's not yatz hashar. Posikimo, so they set a certain price, whatever cheap price they want to set, even though the peros are not fully in his rishus and not ready to be sold yet. So al hagadish, he's posikimo al hagadish by the pile of grain which still needs to be threshed and everything else. So v'al avit shalanavim, or in a large vat of grapes, al manasin is going to give him wine once it's done. V'al matan shalzesim, v'al beitzim shalyotzim, v'al asid mishal Shaka B'Kivshan, meaning all these things that are not really ready yet. So with all these things, you could be posek for the cheap price, even though at the time you give him what you were posek with him, by the time he makes delivery of it, it's going to be worth way more money, and that's not a violation of ribis, because since the thing that you're posek on is already in the guy's rishus, it's considered that you're already buying it at the time of the nesinas ma'os. So basically, there are two ways that you're allowed to prepay: either that it's yatzah ashar, or the guy already has everything. Posekimo al hazevel kol yimos hashana. Rabbi Yosi Amarin posek al zevel kein haiselo zevel ba'ashba v'chab matirim. So whether you're allowed to prepay for zevel is a machlokas tanaim. Sounds like a three-way machlokas tanaim. We'll have to explain in the Gemara how that's three-way machlokas. Uposekimo b'shara gavoa. In all these cases where you're allowed to be posek on the peiros, whether it's yatzah ashar or the guy has the peiros, you're allowed to be posek that if the peiros go down in value, you're going to give him like the cheaper amount. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afal pishalo paskimo b'shara gavoa, even though you're not posek initially with the cheaper amount, yachalomar tainli kazeh o tainli esma osai. The guy could say to the mocher, either give me like the price right now, which is cheap, or give me back my money, and I will use that money to buy peiros elsewhere. Okay, so we're way behind. I apologize about that. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara right after the Mishnah. Okay, it's a good thing we have an extra 5 minutes tomorrow. Have a good Shabbos.